Let's just do it. Why are you in a bad mood?
I'm not in a bad mood.
Here we go. We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows. Hello and welcome to our big show. You've got mail. It's us. You've got two males.
You've got two males, actually.
Yep. And Jack and Tanner.
Jack and Tanner today, and
it's good.
Bing bong, you've got mail. How do you? I don't know what's this tune for it. Can you do the tune?
Bing bong. Yeah, that's right.
You know what Cyril said today? I woke him up in the morning, and he was like, "What did he say?" I can't remember what, because he always wants to talk about like snakes and stuff.
Sure.
And he was like,
"Me too."
I don't know. He said something like, he was like, what's the name of the
Tell
snake?
Tell him to FaceTime me in the morning. If he wants to talk about snakes and you guys just aren't into it, FaceTime Uncle that. Tanner.
He was like, oh, what's the snake that like wraps around you? And I was like, oh, the boa constrictor. And he goes, ding, ding.
Prick.
I was like, that's a good catchphrase, man.
Ding, ding, genius. That's good.
That's funny. Yeah, funny guy.
Miles has started saying some wild shit. He says, similar. He was pointing at letters the other day, and he said, those two are similar.
Yeah.
Like, where did you learn similar? And then at dinner today, he was upset, and he wanted to talk to Bubby Jane. And he said through tears, he said, is Bubby Jane available?
That's funny. So Cyril did yesterday. I've got a couple. He did yesterday to Sarah, he turned to her and he was like, I've made a decision. And the decision was,
what was his decision?
It was like he's gonna keep his like books in a different place on his bed or something.
Smart,
like that.
Smart.
But it was a very funny like opening from a 4-year-old. I've made a decision. The other thing that he says, I think he mostly uses it correctly. Like he at school they do like rhymes and stuff, so he talks about rhymes, but he gets rhymes wrong.
Okay.
You know,
what
so
does
he'll
he
be
think
like,
a rhyme is?
Like, he'll be like, oh, snake and Superman, that rhymes. And I'll be like, no, dude, that alliterates.
I didn't close.
I was like, it alliterates. So now he'll say when something alliterates, which is pretty
okay.
good.
Right.
But he says, that a widow wait.
what a precious darling.
Yeah, what a little guy. He's a little guy, isn't he?
What a little guy.
This has been Dad Talk.
Yes, welcome back.
We watched a movie. We only watched Meg Ryan movies now. It's the Meg
only
Ryan.
Meg
cast.
Ryan movies.
It's the
from
Ryan
1998.
Cast. Yeah,
it's 1998. The podcast, except it's hyper focused on the films of Meg Ryan. Mm-hmm. I'll say this, Jack.
Yeah,
you and I just watched a Meg Ryan movie, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We decided to do another one. Loved it so much. Let's dip our toes
it's
back
just the
in.
Best. I love her more than ever. Yesterday
I wasn't done, but
oh sorry, carry on.
We scoured her IMDb page.
We scoured it
looking for Meg Ryan plus Nick Cage.
Yes,
but that was
they didn't do it.
That was a supernova,
lightning in a bottle,
brilliant, beautiful light in the night sky that we saw once and we'll never see again.
Yeah,
and then from then on, I was just like, she was one of America's sweethearts with some other guy, like.
Yeah,
Frank something, Frank yeah. Hank or something.
Yeah, Frank Hank is in this one. Someone called Frank Hank. Never heard
Frank
of him.
Frank Hank.
Yeah,
I don't like him.
No, I don't like him one bit. He's a corporate
stooge,
charmless corporate stooge.
Don't
and our precious Meg Ryan deserves better, doesn't she?
He's constantly like scoffing and like making little faces, like he's fucking on The Office or something. It's like cool it, man.
Yeah, cool it, Frank.
Frank Hank.
Cool it, Frank Hank.
Now I'm done. I cede the rest of my time to the senator from Austin, Texas.
What I would like to say is she's so great. And I never appreciated her. Like, I've always liked her movies. But growing up, I don't think I appreciated her as an actress. Last night, I did a thing that I do. So Sarah and I watched this movie. I made Sarah watch this.
I put it on yesterday afternoon, and Jamie, like, I had headphones on, and she still just came out of the to the living room to work just so she could, like, watch it silently.
Yeah, I mean, the
issue... She was so drawn to it.
The issue is that it's Sarah's turn to pick a movie. We do a thing where you take it in turns, and it's her turn
this week.
And we've been
this week, baby.
We've been stalled on her turn for a long time because she professed a desire to watch this movie that is really highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, but I think it's about like orphans processing grief.
And that sounds awesome. What's it called?
I can't remember. But like every time, like I'm like, oh shit, it's her turn and she's gonna pick this. Like, can we put it off one more day? It's like Arabian Nights, you know? It's like
Yeah.
But so that's one issue. And then the other issue is Sarah and I often watch You've Got Mail.
Oh, okay. You've seen it before.
I love this movie. I've seen it before this year.
Yeah.
So it was a little much, but we did watch it, and then I fucking fell asleep during the last half hour. So just before
God,
we sat down to record,
so like you.
I was cooking dinner. I couldn't stop myself. I was cooking dinner, and I got to watch that beautiful last half hour. And Meg Ryan does this like
so good.
She like ugly cries so pretty.
Yeah.
When she looks at him, and she's like, I was hoping it would be you.
I wanted it to be you. I wanted it to be you so badly.
Yeah.
Ugh. Whew. And then she ugly cries so pretty, and he's like, don't cry.
Don't cry, shop girl. Don't cry.
And he wipes a tear off her face.
Well, that's a spoiler, and we have to talk about all the other parts of the movie first. Smash cut, intro sequence, fucking Johnny Mnemonic.
How did I get here? Oh, yeah, it's The Matrix, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like Lawnmower Man. Like, it's this, like, 3D computer-animated hellscape. Like,
yeah.
Version of Manhattan if Manhattan was, like, some kind of, like, super virus killed everyone except for, like, four people. And it made them look like
pixelated
wobbles or whatever.
Yeah. So I think this is a prequel to The Matrix.
This is the prequel. This is like the movie where they're talking about how they built The Matrix.
Yeah, this is how they built The Matrix.
This is
movie
from the architect's POV.
Yeah, it's from the POV of the architect. And it's so it sometimes will glitch in and out, especially at the beginning before it's like, well, we're going to resolve into something that your human eyes can process, which is Meg Ryan and Frank Hank.
My human eyes were capable of processing the Lawnmower Man scene.
Yeah, but early on...
Were yours not?
No, it struck me odd.
Oh, it's like I'm like a three-dimensional creature, and that's how I saw that. Like, it's the tip of the iceberg. It's like some 17-dimension
Didn't actually see what they were actually showing.
Got it.
Your human eyes processed something.
Right. Tried to make sense of whatever I was looking at. I did get a splitting migraine.
Yeah,
as I was watching that part.
Yeah, well, and it's scary.
And I heard these dissonant whispers.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, I didn't realize Nora Ephron was so dark. It's Nora Ephron, right?
It's Nora Ephron. What's the deal with Nora Ephron? Why does she do such a good job with everything?
I think she's passed.
Has she?
Yeah.
What a fucking loss. Should we do?
Do you want me to confirm that?
I don't know. I guess not. I want to live in the happy world that I was in.
Okay, I'm going to look it up, but I'm not going to tell you.
A minute ago, where I thought Nora Ephron was still with us. Don't tell me, but tell me if she's still alive. Okay?
Okay.
But don't tell me.
I won't tell you if she's passed, and I will tell you now if she's still alive.
Okay. I think the Zoom's frozen.
No, it's not frozen.
Okay. I can hear you again.
You could hear me the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we'll never know. But she has done historically such a good job with everything, hasn't she? All the movies. They're all so good. Why are they all so good? Sleepless is her, too.
Sleepless in Seattle, another movie where Tom Hanks sleeps on a boat.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Hanks sleeps on a boat.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why? Why
there's
is he
a
so
lot
obsessed
of movies
with Frank Hanks sleeping on a boat?
What if he slept on a boat, they say? And that they recently did one that was that, too, that's called Greyhound.
What? Who did?
Frank Hanks.
Nora Ephron?
Tom Hanks.
Oh, Tom Hanks slept on a boat in Greyhound?
I think so, yeah. I think that's what it's called. Have you seen it?
No.
You didn't see Greyhound?
Are you talking about Bridge of Spies? I saw Bridge of Spies.
No, it just came out like last year.
Loved Bridge of Spies.
It's a 2020 film about Tom Hanks.
Well, Nora Ephron didn't direct it.
78% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's about Tom Hanks sleeping on a boat. And they also have one that's called Captain Phillips. Have you seen that? It's Tom Hanks sleeps on a boat.
He doesn't sleep on a boat. Actually, he does sleep on a boat. They're on that boat for quite a while, and then they're in that other little boat. Yeah.
There's one called Castaway. Have you seen that? It's about Tom Hanks sleeps on a boat.
Sleep on a boat. He does sleep on a boat on that one. It's more of a raft. He sleeps in an airport in the airport.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it. For
does he sleep on the bridge in Bridge of Spies?
<It's>, no. I bet he sleeps on a boat on the way to get to the Bridge of Spies.
No, that's they a take a car. Movie. Famously take a car.
Yeah.
To the Bridge of Spies. We watched You've Got Mail. Hell of a film.
Hell of a film.
This is the second time I've seen it in the last few years. Our
it's
friends,
a prequel to The Matrix.
Bobby and Lindsay did a fun screening once. Did you go to that with me?
No, I guess not. Wasn't invited.
No, they don't like you.
I've always felt that. I've always felt that might be true.
I don't think there's a single person in the world that Bobby and Lindsay dislike.
Yeah, maybe.
They're like the friendliest people in the world. You know how many friends each of them has? Like a million.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what it
including is. Including you and me.
Yeah. Let's not talk about our random friends.
And a rival podcast.
And a rival podcast that we won't even mention here. Yeah. Let's say what happens in the film. It's a great movie. Meg Ryan is in it. Tom Hanks is in it. He sleeps on a boat.
So does his daddy. His daddy's boat is so much bigger.
It starts with a scene from The Matrix.
His boat has internet. Don't ask.
It's from the point of view.
Because I asked.
The architect from The Matrix. We're all uploaded. And you hear this noise. Bleep, bloop. Ding, ding, dong. You've got mail.
Oh, yeah. Well, first it goes.
Do, 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 do. Yeah. Bloop. Yeah, something's happening. Click.
And then it goes. Brunk. You've got mail.
And then you're like, I hope my parents are still asleep because Golly. I'm about to go on PersianKitty.net and watch a JPEG like slowly unveil itself over the next like 45 minutes.
I hope my parents are asleep, like, so I'm gonna go look up
just like
Mary Jane
there.
From Spider-Man naked and get a picture of it and print it off on our black and white printer and hide it in my closet. Probably still there.
Yeah.
What's Persian Kitty?
PersianKitty.net. I bet it still exists, man. It's real. It sounds like it would be a good poll of something that I made up, but I think
it sounds like a porn site in the movie Hackers.
Yeah, no, probably that was around the time. Yeah.
This site cannot be reached.
What? They took down Persian Kitty? Oh, come on! You're telling me Nora Ephron died and they took down Persian Kitty?
Maybe she ran it.
My whole fucking childhood is in shambles.
Do you think there's a chance she ran it?
I doubt it. I mean, everything she does turns to gold, so maybe.
And like everyone's like, oh, Nora Ephron died and now Persian Kitty stopped working. What is going on? 2012 has been so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Jack.
I don't want to be in this timeline, am I right?
Let's look. PersianKitty.net.
Are you looking on Wayback?
No, I'm seeing if we can buy it. No, it's was registered in 1997, and whoever registered it in 1997 is still the holder, although they're not using it.
They're currently. Still hanging on.
Yeah.
They're like, maybe 13-year-old Jack will come back. he paid the fucking bills on this thing.
He's back, and now he's 40 something, and he's got disposable income.
Yeah,
he'll get a lifetime membership.
Yeah. So the movie, so good. What's happening? It's The Shop Around the Corner. You want to hear a? Sarah told me a whole fucking bunch of facts. You want to hear them?
Yeah.
She was just reeling off facts while we were watching
this. Why does she know so many facts about it?
Because she, like, this is her wheelhouse.
Okay.
There's a film. There's a movie. It's called The Shop Around the Corner. Ever heard of it?
No.
It's got someone called Jimmy Stewart. Ever heard of him? I've got vertigo. It's a wonderful life. Yes. It's a wonderful life. I've got vertigo.
Liberty Valance.
I've got vertigo.
Oh, shot me.
Yeah. And he's in this film called The Shop Around the Corner. Well, Shop Around the Corner. I can't do Jimmy Stewart. I don't know why I think I can't.
Hello, it's me, Jimmy Stewart.
It's The Shop Around the Corner.
It's The Shop Around the Corner.
Well, it's The Shop Around. I don't think either of us sound. I don't even know what he sounds like.
I don't even think. I think if you combined ours, it would actually be worse.
I'm afraid of heights. But he... and he's in it with a lady. And guess what? This movie's based on it.
Okay.
And that's why her shop is called it. In it.
Okay. And it's about...
It's about an
big
asshole...
box bookstore shutting down a...
I think so. It's an
small
asshole...
Small mom and pop...
They hate each other, but they're in love. Romance comedy from the...
Okay,
whatever,
well, that movie...
Yeah.
The Shop Around the Corner with Margaret Sullavan and James Stewart is based on a 1937 Hungarian play,
okay.
Parfumerie by Miklos Laszlo. And dare I click through to the Parfumerie page and see what based on.
That's the basis for The Matrix.
And there we are. And that's...
That's how you say The Matrix in French. I said
you know who was in The Shop Around the Corner?
Who?
Frank Morgan. And he was in...
There we go.
He was in You've Got Mail, too.
Yep, perfect. I said this joke to Sarah last night. It didn't play at all, so be warned. But I guess I'll say it to you now, if that's all right.
Yes.
The Shop Around the Corner is also where fudge is made.
Yes. I've tried so hard to teach Miles milk, lemonade, around the corner fudge is made. And I think it's too much for his little head to keep in all at once.
He's not interested.
Well, I think he's interested. He definitely likes it when I do it.
Yeah. Okay.
And if anyone's unfamiliar, it's just sort of like a.
It's like you know how to keep track of the way that priests know how to do the cross sign of the cross is they say spectacles, testicles, watch, wallet.
Right, and you keep your wallet.
Yeah. Watch
right here,
wallet. You
your
keep
upper left.
Your watch in your left shirt pocket.
Yeah.
And you keep your wallet in your right shirt pocket.
Yeah.
And then the milk lemonade sign is a reminder of how, your body works.
Yeah, it's how your body works. It's where all the fluids come out of your body below your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you ever need to remember, where do all the fluids come out of my, where do all the things come out of my body below my neck?
Yeah.
That's how you know milk, lemonade, around the corner fudge is made.
And I've always thought it would be funny to have a fudge shop and call it around the corner.
Yeah. And I guess I would open a drink shop.
Yeah, a lemonade shop on the other side. Yeah, around the corner.
We can sell milk and lemonade.
Hey, you know what? It's a comedy podcast.
Is it?
Now it is. But she's got a shop. It's called Shop Around the Corner. It's a tribute to Jimmy Stewart. He's got vertigo. He's afraid of heights. It's a wonderful life. And guess what else? This movie is number 3 in the Megan Tom trilogy.
Oh, what's number 1?
Joe versus the Volcano. What a fucking movie.
Wow.
Christ, what a movie. Let me tell you briefly
That was an early one, wasn't it?
Here's the thing about Joe versus the Volcano. I never saw it when it came out. I remember my cousin Pip saw it, and she told me about it. And I was like, that sounds fucking
1990.
Stupid. Yeah. But guess what? We watched it recently. They did a screening at the Alamo Draft House. And by recently, I mean before the pandemic. So, you know, it was like... recent in some
in
sense
the grand scheme of
the
things,
grand scheme
you know
of
like
but we
when you're talking about the Warhammer universe you say like Warhammer 40K but like really what like everything that incorporates Warhammer 40K is everything from 30K to 40K
you're
talking about the Horus Heresy you're talking about the betrayal of the Emperor so it's like that's 10,000 years and that's contained in one narrative canon and this is 2 years we're talking here.
Yes.
That Jack went and saw Joe versus the Volcano. So
thank you for clarifying that for people.
Big
thank you.
Picture.
And we saw it at they had a screening.
I'm just saying if you all can wrap your head around 10,000 years in a narrative universe, no issues.
For Warhammer, which a lot of people can and most listeners, I think.
Yeah.
This
should be able
to
understand this concept that Jack is pushing on you.
Thank you for helping to set the scene for that. But we went, they had a screening at Alamo Drafthouse here, and we went and saw it, and it was the first time I'd seen it, and it absolutely fucking rules. It's an incredible piece of art. It's not just a movie. It's not just a fun romance movie. It is a piece of art.
It used to be on TV a lot, and I think I've seen it in bits and pieces, but I don't remember.
It's a masterpiece, but that's the first. And then they were like, what about Sleepless in Seattle? I think he sleeps on a boat in Jove versus the Volcano.
God, wouldn't he? Because it takes place on an island, right?
Yeah, he's got to. He's got to sleep on the way there. Fucking wild.
So that's one of the themes of the America's Sweetheart trilogy.
America's Sweetheart. Is that what they're called?
That's what, in the 90s, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks were called America's Sweethearts.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You're the one who said it.
I know.
Don't Google it. You just have the confidence of your convictions, man. Just say it.
Wait, I don't.
People won't believe you if you speak with confidence.
They're going to be so mean to me. And you know I can't handle when people are mean to me. I just crumble.
You crumble. It's not good. Folks, don't be mean to Tanner. He can't.
I just collapse in on myself. And then I lash out at Jack and my wife.
It's literally true.
I don't lash out.
What if we say something about the movie?
Oh, I'm on the Jove versus the Volcano page. Okay. Listen to this.
Yeah.
The film received mixed reviews overall, but positive reviews from some critics, including Roger Ebert, who described the film as new and fresh and not shy of taking chances, and was a minor box office success in the U.S. It has since become a cult film, so I think now you're in a cult.
I'm in a cult, and I'm in that cult, and fuck yes. Absolutely.
Should we describe the book?
Yeah, I think so. So it starts from the point of view of the architect from The Matrix.
Yes, and we're sort of zooming through this hellscape. Hellish, like 3D.
We can't even process it, and it goes bing bong.
Bing bong, you've got mail, and we are introduced to Greg Kinnear.
Oh, yeah?
And he's hot as hell. He's looking...
Looking fine.
Fine in this movie.
Yeah. Is that her boyfriend?
Yeah.
He's great. This is something Sarah and I were talking about a little bit. The Greg Kinnear has a Ben Stiller in Reality Bites problem.
Haven't seen it.
What? You haven't seen Reality Bites?
No.
Can we watch it?
Is it a romance?
Yeah, it's full of love. It's absolutely full of love.
Yeah.
Let's watch Reality Bites.
Okay.
But so the thing about Reality Bites is it's like you can't understand.
Is that the one where Matthew McConaughey says like
no?
Okay.
The thing about Reality Bites is you can't understand it if you're not from the 90s because it's like
I'm not from the 90s. It's 2022.
Okay, well then you won't be able to understand it because it's like when you watch it in the 90s, you're like, this is a movie about how Winona Ryder gets rid of her boring corporate boyfriend and gets with awesome hunky Ethan Hawke, who knows what irony means and is sarcastic and listens to cool music. But if you watch it now, even I a little bit feel the pull of it, even though I watched it in the 90s, it's like it's a movie about how Winona Ryder dumps her really nice and perfectly good boyfriend for an asshole, and that sucks.
Don't go all MGTOW on me right now, Jack.
No, that's not.
Rein it in.
but this movie has a little bit of that vibe too because Meg Ryan's boyfriend is great.
He's so good. That's the first note I took. I said, loving Greg Kinnear's character. The first thing he does is just rail on technology.
He's
like,
funny.
Fuck the internet. The internet's just going to destroy the world. And guess what, Greg Kinnear? It's 2022 and it fucking did.
And it did. And he talks about it from the point of view of solitaire.
Yeah,
he's like, solitaire is destroying us.
This is amazing. Listen to this. The entire workforce of the state of Virginia had to have solitaire removed from their computers because they hadn't done any work in 6 weeks.
That's so sad.
Do you know what this is?
No.
What we're seeing here, it's what? The end of Western civilization as we know it.
And that's how The Matrix starts. It started with solitaire.
That's how they get us.
Yeah, and then it's a few logical leaps to the fucking robots putting us in pods.
I swear to God, the first time I put on my VR helmet to get into MetaQuest and it tries to make me play solitaire, I'm out of there. I'm going to go live in the woods like a Unabomber.
Minesweeper.
No way.
But yeah, so he has a whole riff on how solitaire is destroying the world, and he was fucking right.
Yeah. And then we smash cut to Tom Hanks's apartment, and
you've been saying smash cut a lot. Is that just on the brain? Because not everything's a smash cut. It's fine. Just say it. Go with it. I didn't mean to interrupt.
His
you.
Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Parker Posey,
who's also fucking literally perfect.
And no,
except she yells at a man in an elevator.
She's kind of mean.
She's mean.
Although
in
at one point Jamie came in and she's like, "Oh, Parker Posey, like she's like the mean sort of like bitchy one in this movie." I was like, "No, not really. She's like kind of like aloof
she's a little
and
frantic."
Like, yeah, frantic, but she's pretty nice until she yells at that man.
Well, there's four of us.
Yes, and if you don't get your ass up here in two shakes and get us the hell out of here.
No, and she's also Parker Posey, and she is my queen.
Yeah.
I love
Parker
Posey.
When I first saw Greg Kinnear, I was like, oh man, I wish, like, if there's one character I wish I could identify with in this movie,
yeah,
it's Greg Kinnear. But then as soon as I saw the Parker Posey character, I was like, oh shit, that's me.
She's so like, great. She has her
frantic, like,
she has the funniest line in the movie. It's at the 5:23 mark. She's just like talking to Tom Hanks about her day. And she was like,
Murray Chilton died, which makes one less person I'm not speaking to.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great.
She's the best.
Something else I realized about the Greg Kinnear Parker Posey thing is we're jumping ahead a little bit at 38:50. The two of them meet at a party.
Oh yeah, and they're
Parker
perfect
Posey
for each other.
And Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
And they like sort of like hit it off because she's a huge fan of his. He's like a New York Observer writer.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes very like impenetrable intellectual
fucking
shit.
SAT word op-eds.
And she said at the 38:50 mark, she's going on about him, and she said,
he's always talking about, you know, Heidegger and Foucault, and I have no idea what any of it's about, really.
And I realized that Greg Kinnear and Parker Posey are just you and me.
Oh, that's us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, she says, I can't believe he's so down to earth. He always seems so obscure. He's always talking about Heidegger and Foucault.
Yeah.
That's like me.
That's you.
Those are my guides. That's
so nice.
And
I'm always making enemies. And I'm pretty frantic.
Yeah, and if you got stuck in an elevator, you'd call up the super and give him a piece of your fucking mind.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
I have trouble with emotional regulation. You know, he's getting a piece of my mind.
Yeah.
I'm also a coward, though, so it would probably be pretty tempered.
Yeah, it would probably not be like Parker Posey, but she's great. They're great together. What else? So we've got to the first minute of the film.
That's the first minute. So both Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks have to wait until their significant others leave the house so they can
get on
spirit away to the computer and do some
cyber
light infidelity.
Yeah, it's infidelity, folks. And if you think it's not, you're wrong. It's emotional infidelity.
Look where it ended up.
Yeah.
Look where it ended up. You can tell it's an old, like, it's the beginning of the computer era, because when Tom Hanks goes into, like, his shared office with his girlfriend to sit at the computer, he sits at his computer with the monitor facing the door to the hallway directly behind him.
They haven't figured it out yet.
It's like, that's amateur move, man. What, do you want to be caught looking at porn?
He thinks he's not going to see PersianKitty.net fucking as she walks past.
I wish when I die and go to heaven and whatever his name is, Peter Gabriel at the gate is like, you can go back and like relive any moment of your life. I'm going to be like, send me back to whenever PersianKitty.net was still up, and I'm going to find a computer and go check it
out. And for me, when I die and Nicolas Cage comes and gets me and he goes, what was your favorite part? I'm going to say Persian Kitty, man.
Watching a fucking
JPEG load for 45 minutes.
Nicolas Cage comes to get me in and be like, I don't know, but it sounds like it would have been Persian Kitty had I been able to see it.
Yeah.
But I missed the train.
I think this is a good place to take a little break.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then we should probably say about
a minute into the movie?
Say what happens in the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively.
Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign. And a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
We're back. We should probably say the movie, I think.
Meg Ryan runs a bookstore called The Bookstore Around the Corner. It's a children's bookstore. It's in the Upper West Side of Manhattan. This movie is a love letter to Manhattan.
It's a what? A love letter
it's
to Manhattan.
A love letter to the Upper West Side.
Okay. Boring.
Isn't it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it did make me want to go, I guess.
Oh, it's a love letter. This movie takes place right where I almost got arrested.
Oh, for peeing outside of McDonald's.
For peeing outside of a McDonald's.
In retaliation.
In retaliatory peeing. And this is why. This is exactly why.
Yeah.
I'm the Parker Posey character.
Yeah.
I'm told that a McDonald's that their bathroom is closed. So what I do is I go to the middle of Broadway, the most the busiest street in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And I climb into a planter. I am devastatingly drunk. This is after a work party.
Yeah.
And I pee in a planter, and then the cops come and give me a ticket.
Yeah, just to at them. And I'm sure they were like, man, we got fucking owned today.
Well, one $50 ticket later, and you know, who's feeling like they came out on top of that transaction?
Still on the sex offender registry.
I specifically went to court. Oh God, what a brat I was at that. Let's not talk about that. What an embarrassing time in my life.
He's not on the sex offender registry, folks.
I'm not on the sex
offender
registry.
Paid his debt to society.
I paid my debt. And I apologize to the police officers who had to catch me peeing.
Yeah.
And you know what?
What?
Josh Fjellstedt from Experience Share, a Pokemon podcast, was with me, and he was supposed to be watching out for cops.
He did a terrible job, didn't he?
Now, this is really on him.
Yeah, this is on him. Yeah,
he was also
let's lay blame where it deserves. Yeah, we have again failed to say the movie. It's a love letter to the Upper West Side.
And then there's another. It's a love letter to the Upper West Side. There's a big new bookstore coming in around the corner called Fox Books.
It looks nice, actually.
It looks great. And you know what? We can shit on all the big box stores all we want, but let's not target Barnes & Noble, because Barnes & Noble is a great store.
Barnes & Noble is great. You know, I used to work
there. None of your shame, Nora Ephron. So did Jamie.
I worked at Barnes & Noble, and I worked in the music section.
Oh, cool. Jamie worked at Starbucks.
Yeah, I was cool as hell, man. People would come down, and I would take them around and find music for them.
Oh, you're like always recommending like My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah, I would recommend cool shit to them. You know what they said at Barnes & Noble? They would always say, put the book in their hand. I like that. That was the motto. Put the book in their hand.
Put the book in their hand.
Yeah, and if I wish that people were more like that in shops these days.
Do you want some podcasting advice?
What?
Put the podcast in their ears, podcast holes. Player.
Yeah.
Just put it in their ear holes.
Yeah. But that's what they, because someone will come and say, hey, have you, do you have the new Jonathan Franzen?
Do I?
I'm not leaving your side until my clammy fucking fist
yeah,
is clasped around the corrections and it's shoving it.
Has that guy really not written another book since The Corrections?
I don't know, man. Let's not talk about Jonathan Franzen. We haven't said even anything about the movie yet.
It's such a good movie and I have so many notes. Yeah. She's got this funny ragtag group of people working for her. April Ludgate from Parks and Rec works for her. So
wait,
does
what?
Steve
Zahn. That's not her. No, that's not April Ludgate from Parks and Rec.
No, same character, though.
She's from something.
Steve Zahn is like kind of this lovesick, like, hipster. Yeah. And then there's this woman named Birdie who's so good. She loves cybersex.
She says some funny shit about cybersex. They're questioning whether it's infidelity if you fall in love with someone on email.
Yes.
And yes, it's the answer. And then I think Meg Ryan, somebody asks her, have you had cyber sex? And the lady says,
I tried to have cyber sex once, but I kept getting a busy signal.
What?
What is that? I think like in those days, you could just like say tech words.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be funny.
Like, what?
That sounds like some a George Carlin joke.
Yeah, it does sound like a George Carlin. Did he advise on this movie?
Yeah.
Have you ever had cyber sex?
I tried to have cyber sex once, but I kept getting a busy signal.
No, seriously.
No.
In the 90s, did you ever try to have cyber sex?
No. Did you?
I think I was just too young. By the time I cared about sex, it was already the modern era, you know? We didn't have to wait for JPEGs to load anymore.
Yeah. No,
they were
really
just loading.
And it took a lot of the fun out of it, didn't it? It used to be a strip tease, didn't it?
It did used to be a little bit of a strip tease, yeah.
It turns out
that the guy Joe Fox, Frank Hank plays this character called Joe Fox. He's the grandson of the founder of Fox & Sons Books, this giant.
Yeah, and now Barnes & Noble is the good guys. And so it's hard to remember that they're the bad guys. Because that looks nice. It's a physical bookstore.
Yeah, it seems great.
It looks lovely. You know, they've got a kids section and a coffee shop. It looks awesome.
Can I buy toys there too?
Yeah.
I can. Perfect.
But he starts the bookstore and he's putting her out of damn business, isn't he?
Yeah, so it becomes a war. But meanwhile, these two lovebirds are chatting online.
And it's the same
shop girl and NY152.
NY152 on AOL.
On AOL. Yeah, they're sending emails back and forth and they're doing the meme. That's my meme of the week.
Oh, great. That's perfect. What is it? What's that?
That's what Tom Hanks does.
What?
When he's getting ready to email Meg Ryan, he blows on his fingertips and he rubs his hands together and he does this big exaggerated
whoop,
bonk, and hits the return key.
And that's
a meme. It's a meme.
And what's the meme?
I think you use it when you want to I'm about to say something pretty nasty to you.
It's a gift from this movie?
Yeah. It's a very popular meme. God, I gotta figure out someone else to do this show with. Someone who's 28, who knows what a meme is.
But
who's seen a meme.
Is it from this movie?
Yes, Jack.
So they're not doing the meme. They're
he does
doing,
the meme in the movie.
They're doing...
He does
their,
this...
Yeah, I... Yeah.
And he hits return, and he does the meme.
I get it.
I lost my mind. I was the meme! He's doing the meme!
Okay, but at the time, he wasn't doing the meme.
What do you mean?
He was doing it. And then it
became the meme.
A meme. Yeah. And the meme is from this?
Yes!
Okay, good. I think I get it now.
You know it's a bad idea?
What?
Making your screen name your home address.
Oh, yeah, that's his fucking home address.
What a terrible idea.
Come on, dude. Come on, man.
Someone's going to hunt you down. Also, you're a millionaire.
Millionaire. Yeah, he's the heir to Fox Empires. His dad is his dad, but his cousin is his brother and his mom is his sister and his aunt.
His grandpa and his dad are rich fat cats, and they keep marrying young women, and they keep having new kids. So he seems like he has two kids, but they're not his kids. They're actually his aunt and his brother.
That's not my dad. That's my nephew.
You know, I don't really think that he could be your nephew.
No, it's true. Annabelle is my aunt. Isn't that right, Aunt Annabelle?
Uh-huh. And Matt is
Let me guess. Are you his uncle?
No.
His grandfather? His great-grandfather?
I'm his brother.
Matt is my father's son. Annabelle is my grandfather's daughter.
And his brother, it's fucking funny.
Yeah, it's weird.
And so they charmingly
he shrugs when he goes to meet Meg Ryan at the bookstore, and he's like,
we are an American family.
This is my aunt, my brother, and they're like, they charm each other, but he doesn't know that they're cyber sex pals yet. But he does know, in a way that she doesn't, that he's the fox who's putting her out of business.
Yes. And he introduces it. He says, I'm just Joe. And he means Joe in the volcano.
Yeah, from the volcano. Yeah.
Yeah.
But eventually she finds out at a dinner party that he...
They go to a dinner party.
Yeah.
Should we do Toad Theory?
Yeah, I think we should probably hit up Toad Theory now.
We'll hit it real quick. Yeah. She finally discovers who he is, and they kind of have this like sort of little bit of a nasty back and forth where they're kind of taking pot shots at one another.
Yeah.
And while this is happening, they're both preparing themselves plates of food.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks takes a cracker and scoops up like literally all the caviar.
Oh yeah.
Being used as garnish for like a hummus plate or something.
What is that? What are you doing? What is that? What are you doing? You're taking all the caviar? That caviar is a garnish.
She's pissed. She shouldn't be. He can do that. It's fine. I don't give a shit.
Well, he does it because he's a toad.
Toads eat caviar?
I assume toads eat fish eggs.
Who else?
Right?
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Who else would eat fish eggs?
What else would do that? Yeah. Yeah, so, and need so much and want so much of it.
And
I
it
think
wants
that's
so much of
the
it.
Main
yeah.
food.
He's got okay. a brood to go. He's got his own eggs he has to go ejaculate on.
Yes.
Because that's how toads and frogs do it, I think.
Yeah, and we're not scientists, but we may as well be.
We may as well be, yeah.
Yeah.
You can take that one to the bank. So Toad Theory, I think he's probably a toad.
He's probably a toad. I think that one's watertight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he comes in like a toad and he eats a bunch of fucking caviar off the plate.
Yeah, with his long tongue.
And she's like,
shoots
don't
his tongue out.
Do that. And also, you're the guy from Fox Books. And even though, she doesn't even admit that she's attracted to him. She's like, you're bad. And she's talk shit to him, right?
Fox, your last name is Fox.
F-O-X.
I didn't know you were spying on me, weren't you? You probably rented those children.
So then she uses her connections,
mm-hmm.
Greg Kinnear,
yeah,
to get
who
Greg
writes
Kinnear
for the Observer
this like overwrought like yeah. hit piece about like the
Fox
death of like the American spirit,
right? And then they do a bunch of protests.
They do a bunch of protests, and he gets vilified.
Yeah.
Specifically, Tom Hanks
yeah.
gets vilified. Meanwhile, Jack, they're mm-hmm. still chatting, and she's asking for
chatting.
Advice on how to take down...
And they don't know that they're each other.
I'm a brilliant businessman. It's what I do best. What's your business?
No. Mm-mm. No specifics, remember?
Okay. Well... Minus specifics, it's hard to help, except to say, go to the mattresses.
Except to say, go to the mattress. What? What does that mean?
It's from The Godfather. It means you have to go to war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he keeps giving advice from the Godfather.
Yeah.
But they keep not making the connection until they agree to meet up.
Yeah, and he shows up and he's like, fuck, it's her.
Yeah, he sees that it's her. And then he goes inside and messes with her a little bit. And then the rest of the movie is him just.
But he goes
like,
inside as, not as the AOL friend, but as Mr. Fox.
Yeah, so she thinks AOL friend has stood her
has
up.
Has stood her up.
And then he spends the rest of the movie manipulating her.
Yeah,
because now
super
he knows
up.
And she doesn't.
And then we do meet the rooftop killer, don't we?
We do meet a rooftop killer, do we?
Yes.
Are you thinking of City of Angels?
I don't think so.
Because Nick Cage jumps off the roof.
I mean, maybe this is in the City of Angels averse. I mean, Meg Ryan is in it. But this is what happens after Meg Ryan gets uploaded to the Matrix just before she dies in City of Angels. It's
okay.
That's, yeah.
Right.
But at the 1 hour and 10 minute mark, Meg Ryan is speculating about why she was stood up. And then she sees a newsreel that, what?
She sees a newsreel?
Yeah. That
she went,
that
she went to the talkies.
Just let me say it. She sees some kind of a thing that says that the rooftop killer was nabbed two blocks from the cafe just where they were supposed to meet.
What? What are you saying?
It could be. He was arrested two blocks from the cafe.
Is there a picture? So that explains it.
He was in jail.
And there was a phone.
But he only got one call, so he had to call his lawyer.
You are so lucky.
You could be dead.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. And Meg Ryan says,
he couldn't possibly be the rooftop killer.
Right.
But maybe.
Do we ever see him?
We never see the rooftop killer.
Right.
So he spends the rest of the movie kind of gaslighting her a little bit.
Gaslighting her, yeah. And then trying to trick her into getting on a rooftop, I assume.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the internal monologues and how they work?
Yes.
Because at the 50 minute and 20 second mark, Tom Hanks is writing to Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
And he is, you can hear what he's saying in his head. There's three things happening, and I'm not sure which one is the real one. And I'm not sure if he has like a Fight Club style, like splintered identity or what, but like, you can see what he's writing.
Yeah.
He's also saying out loud what he's writing as he writes it. Mm-hmm. And you can hear this like voiceover of him.
Yeah. That's Fight Club.
Saying the thing he's writing.
Yeah. That's
and the
Club.
Three are all out of sync.
Yeah.
I know you worry about being brave.
Don't.
This is your chance. Fight.
Fight.
Fight to the death.
Fight to the death.
So I'm just confused on what is Tom
What's
Hanks
reality?
And what is... Yeah, exactly.
No, that's what the movie wants you to think.
It's and this is Johnny Mnemonic, huh?
Yeah, it's Johnny Mnemonic's prequel to The Matrix. It's like...
It's Fight Club.
It's questioning, like, what is our reality and, like, how do we mediate our reality through other people and...
It's the corrections.
Through... Yeah. Yeah, so that's interesting.
That is interesting.
What's real? And that's the... I think that's the statement is you've got mail. But the question is, what's real? What's reality?
What is mail?
What is mail? Yeah.
And as actually, as we said at the beginning of the episode, you have two mails.
Yeah, I've got two mails, and
Jack
it's me and
Tanner.
Yeah. And we're in you're in your fucking head.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucked up to think about. And Tom Hanks is attracted to mailboxes.
Okay.
And we know it because he says it to Dave Chappelle.
He says, I love mailboxes.
He says,
this woman is the most adorable creature I've ever been in contact with. And if she turns out even to be as good looking as a mailbox, I'd be crazy not to turn my life upside down and marry her.
Ugh. That, I mean, what that implies to me, yes, that Tom Hanks is attracted to mailboxes. It also like might imply that he's like copulated with a...
yeah.
A mailbox at one point, right?
I mean, I guess maybe to be fair to him, what he's saying is, my bar is a mailbox.
Yeah, well, that's a high bar. You know who else is attracting mailboxes?
Who?
Miles.
Your boy.
We were walking through downtown the other day, and every time he saw a mailbox, he said, mailbox, mailbox, and he ran up to it.
Okay, there you go. So that's how
drawn
it starts young.
Animal magnetism.
And then should we talk about the elevator? So the elevator is what happens when... So Tom Hanks realizes he's in love with Meg Ryan.
Well, they spend the whole movie avoiding one another because they, like, in real IRL, Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan despise one another.
Yes.
But virtual Hanks and virtual Ryan are in love. Yeah. So when they, like, bump into each other on, like, the street or at, like, Zabar... Oh, God, it's such a love letter to the Upper West Side.
Ugh, it's a love letter to the Upper West Side.
And they go to Zabar's, and they're doing their shopping at Zabar's, which is a grocery store in the Upper West Side.
Mm.
Wait, let me think about my approach to this.
Okay.
Nora Ephron...
Yeah. R.I.P.
...doesn't owe me anything.
No.
Despite the fact...
And if she did, it would be hard for you to get it back from her.
...that I've done so much for her career.
Yes.
Tonight specifically?
Yeah.
with this podcast we're doing about a movie she directed?
Yes.
She doesn't owe me anything for that.
But
I think it common courtesy.
Yeah.
Dictates
common courtesy. Yeah.
That she should have.
Mm-hmm. She ought to have.
She ought to have.
Yeah.
Given me a part in this movie.
Yeah. It's a love letter to the Upper West Side.
Don't you think so?
Yeah. And you did pee famously outside the McDonald's up
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I identified in that Zabar scene.
Yeah.
The part that could have been mine.
Yeah.
There is a guy who they interact with who only yeah. has a couple of lines. And
you don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
I could have played that fucking part.
Yeah, you could have played that fucking part. And what does he say?
Here's what he says.
Yeah.
She waits in this line trying to avoid Tom Hanks, and she gets to the front, and it's a huge line because it's the day before Thanksgiving. And she realizes as she gets to the front that it's a cash-only line, and all she has is a card.
Cash only?
Classic. Classic New York.
And she says, God, classic New York. It's a yeah. love story to the city, you guys.
Yeah.
And she says to the cashier, like,
oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, I just have a credit card. I'm sorry. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And there's this, like,
they're all like, I'm walking here.
The New Yorkiest guy in the world right next yeah. to her says,
no, it's not okay. There's a sign.
His name yeah. is Henry, and he's very good, and I could have done that.
You
right?
could have done that. Yeah, you would, but you wouldn't have, would you? You would have thought it, but you wouldn't have said it.
Oh, yeah. Would I have actually have said that it. To someone? I lived in New York for 12 years, and did I ever confront anyone? Absolutely
no.
not.
No. The only time you or I have ever confronted anyone in New York is when we were riding on our bikes, and we yelled, nerd!
People hate that.
Yeah, it's a way to get back at people who tell you that you're like riding on the wrong side of the street or whatever, like, and you just say, nerd!
You pull up to a stoplight and there's a bunch of bikes, so you're like, and you kind of like, you know, sort of wheedle your way up a little bit just so yeah. you're not at the back of this big pack.
And they tell you some fucking rule.
And then you're like sitting there chatting with Jack, and the light turns green, you don't notice because you're chatting with your friend, and everyone who you just wheedled in front of has to go around you.
Yeah.
And one guy says, good thing you pulled up in front of everyone, right? And you just look them square in the eyes and you say,
nerd! It's such a good response, and it gets them. It really does. It really completely changes the playing field. Because now they're the fucking nerd.
Really makes you, when you're called a nerd, it really makes you take a step back and like think about your decisions. How did I get to this point?
Oh, God, I miss New York. So at the 1 hour and 29 minute mark, Tom Hanks recounts what happens in the elevator, which is what has happened previously. And they all get stuck in an elevator, and Parker Posey is like super mean. And they all go around and say, like, because they're like, what if we die in here? And they all go around and say, like, what would we do?
If I ever get out of here, I'm going to start speaking to my mama. Wonder what she's doing right this very minute.
If I ever get out of here, I'm marrying a Reed. I love her. I should marry her. I don't know what's been stopping me.
If I ever get out of here, I'm having my eyes lasered.
Well, if I ever get out of here...
Where are my Tic Tacs? What?
This big moment of like clarity, like what am I gonna do when I get out of here?
And Parker Posey just like yells a lot.
Yeah, she said she's gonna get like a manicure. I don't remember. It was something like that.
And then at the 1 hour and 29 minute mark, Tom Hanks says in a voice, and it's one of these voiceovers.
Well, there are ghosts in the movie too, so maybe it's ghosts talking.
It could be ghosts, yeah.
Because at the end of the film, she does lose the bookshop. Spoilers.
Yeah.
And on her way out after it's closed and empty, she looks back one last time and sees two spectral figures dancing.
Yeah, that looks like her mom, who we know is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary. And there's ghosts in this movie.
So maybe what we're hearing in this scene is...
Scare warning, folks. Scare warning. There's ghosts
in this.
Scare warning.
Scare warning.
Tom Hanks' voice or some spectral voice says...
There was a man sitting in the elevator with me who knew exactly what he wanted. and I found myself wishing I were as lucky as he.
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
Isn't there an M. Night Shyamalan movie where they're all stuck in an elevator and it's
yeah,
the devil?
It's called Elevator.
It's called yeah. Elevator? Surely not. Surely even M. Night Shyamalan had enough restraint not to call
it. I'm not
going to
look it up. I'm just going to live in this world where I'm convinced that that M. Night Shyamalan movie is called Elevator.
Well, who's in the elevator in the M. Night Shyamalan movie? Isn't it the devil?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I think it's the devil. Okay. Well, the movie's called Elevator.
It's probably the devil. It's certainly right? not Peter Gabriel at the Pearly Gates.
It's not Nick
Cage. Not with a name like that.
So it's troubling that Tom Hanks' character wants what that guy, what he's like, there's some fucking guy in this elevator and I want what he wants.
Yeah.
And then he gaslights the shit out of Meg Ryan. He pretends, because he knows, he goes to her house.
He goes to her house and he's like, I want to be your friend. And then they spend months becoming yeah. friends. Like, he shut her bookstore down at like Christmas time.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the film, when they're like buddies and they're going to lunch every day together, it's spring.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, so it's a long time.
He starts coaching her on reveal. How to like respond to NY152.
Yeah. Even though he knows it's him.
Even though he knows it's him.
Oh, it's so much trouble.
And you think like he kind of implies towards the end of the film that like he's trying to win her over as Joe Fox.
Yeah.
And if he can't do it, he's not going to go. Like, he kind of says to her, like, an ultimatum moment. He's like, listen, I know you're about to go meet NY152, but, like, maybe you could forgive me for destroying your bookstore that your mom started that was so beloved yeah. by this community. And, yeah. like, I could be that guy. And she's
he
like,
he takes
no.
a real risk. He takes yeah. a real risk.
I was convinced he was just going to not show up.
And then he does show up, and it's him, and she says, I was hoping it would be you. And she does ugly cry, but it's so pretty.
Yeah, and then they do a kiss, and then it zooms out, and you can clearly tell that it's not Tom Hanks, but the trainer who needs to keep Brinkley, the golden retriever, calm while,
yeah.
I assume, a helicopter flies overhead.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I thought Cyril, like, we were doing a joke where we would say something was a color that it wasn't.
Hilarious.
You know, it'd be like, there's a blue plate. And I'd be like, oh man, that plate is orange. And he yeah. thought it was really funny. And then he would do it to his mom and he'd be like, oh, that plate is orange. And she'd be like, no, it's blue. And he goes, I'm gaslighting.
I think it's good to teach them about gaslighting early. Yeah. You know, get it out of their system.
Hey, bud. What's up, mister? What is it, hon? You want to say goodnight? Okay, come and say goodnight.
Okay.
We're almost done here. Come here. Uncle Tanner and I were just talking about gaslighting.
Hi, Cyril.
Do you know how to do gaslighting?
Well, how?
Should we do it?
Hey, Cyril, what color is this pen?
Blue.
Looks orange to me.
I'm gaslighting.
You're good at it. You're good at gaslighting.
Do another one.
Okay. I don't have much more stuff down here. I just cleaned my...
You've got Jar Jar behind you.
Oh, yeah. What color is this Jar Jar Binks? I think it looks pink. It's pink, right?
It's green.
Are we looking at the same Jar Jar? This looks pink to me.
No.
It's not pink, it's green?
Yeah.
Am I going crazy?
What color is Uncle Tanner?
His jacket is red.
Cyril, do you want to see me make a Jabba the Hutt face?
Yeah.
Look at this. Watch.
You're gaslighting.
Okay. You want to say goodnight to Uncle Tanner?
Goodnight, Uncle.
Goodnight,
Tanner.
Cyril.
What's this thing for?
It's a microphone to record your voice. We're podcasting. We're just three guys. Yeah. You've got three males.
You've got three
good
males now.
Goodnight, Uncle Tanner.
Goodnight. Nephew Cyril.
Okay, night-night, monkey. I'll come and talk to you about Transformers in just a little bit, okay?
Perfect. Cyril's just third host now, you guys. Just yeah. For some reason, I think because of daylight saving time, podcasting always happens right at bedtime, so yeah. He's probably just going to pop in from now.
He's going to pop in for a little while. He's getting good at it. It's after not too long, I just won't even be here. At all.
Just be he and I talking about Transformers or
yeah.
gaslighting or whatever.
That seems fine. Have we said the whole movie? They kiss and she says, I was hoping it would be you. And she does it. She ugly cries.
Beautiful line, beautiful
movie.
But
it's pretty. I literally cried when she said, I was hoping it would be you. I
thought you were asleep.
No, but I rewatched it.
Now who's gaslighting?
No, I watched
your story's crumbling apart.
I rewatched it just before. I rewatched the part I fell asleep to just before we sat down to record.
Okay.
We should go.
Sure.
Anything? No, is there anything else?
I got nowhere to be, but yeah, let's go.
I got to go talk to this kid about Transformers. Actually, technically, mommy's going to read him some stories, so I've got a few minutes if there's something else you want to say about this film.
Nope.
Okay, we said the whole thing. It's beautiful.
I think so.
We should do Joe versus the Volcano, and we should do Reality Bites.
Yeah, let's just do Reality Bites sometime.
You want to do it next?
No, I want to do Twilight.
I want to do Twilight, too. I do want to do Twilight. Okay, maybe we should do Twilight. I do want to do this movie that Sarah has suggested, so I'll just say it now. It's called Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve. It's like a crazy movie about Christopher.
Let's do that after Twilight.
Reeve traveling back
in time. I really
want
to watch Twilight.
Okay, let's do Twilight next week. Okay, folks. Tanner, I'd like to thank you very much for bearing with me.
Thank you.
Baby Nation, I would like to thank you so very much for bearing with us. I would like to remind everybody that you must subscribe to our Patreon. Please do subscribe to our Patreon. It's a good way to support our show. It's, you know, it takes a lot of work and time to put the show out. As stupid as that sounds, it's true.
Plus, it's funny.
It's a good way to keep us going here.
It's a love letter to TGIF.
Also, you get Patreon. A whole other show.
It's a love letter to TGIF.
It's a love letter to TGIF now. We're talking about Full House and Family Matters. It's tons of fun and Perfect Strangers. Ooh. Oh, no, we've got Perfect Strangers coming up soon.
It's Family Matters week, yeah.
We're so excited about Perfect Strangers. Please check it out. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. It's just $5 a month, and you get a whole new show, and it supports what we're doing. Join our Facebook group, Baby Nation on Facebook. Everyone's nice and good in there. We have discussion threads. It's fun. It's good. You can suggest movies for us to watch. We're going to be watching movies for the next few months just because... we wanted to take a break from books and give everybody a chance to watch along with us, and that's what's happening. We will probably mix it up. It won't only be Meg Ryan movies, but you can suggest stuff in our Facebook group, Baby Nation.
I mean, it won't always be Meg Ryan movies because eventually we'll run out of Meg Ryan movies.
We will eventually run out of Meg Ryan movies.
Yeah.
You can rate and review our show wherever you rate and review shows. It helps us to move through the rankings. It helps to keep us relevant. Please do... recommend the show to a friend if you can. And all that remains is for me to say that this week we watched a film. The film we watched was called You've Got Mail by Nora Ephron. And Tom Hanks is in it. Meg Ryan is in it. Greg Kinnear is in it. Parker Posey is in it. It's a fucking masterpiece.
Heidegger's in it.
Heidegger, Foucault. God, what Foucault. A fucking good movie. Next week, we're going to be watching a little film called Twilight.
Yes. God, I'm so excited.
I've never
about
seen
Twilight.
It.
Neither have I.
He's 150. She's 17. It's fine. Probably.
It's good. People loved it.
And there's a werewolf.
It took the nation by storm.
Yeah. So next week it's Twilight. And
that wasn't a, and I'm sorry, that wasn't a cue thing. I wasn't trying to do like a cue thing.
Yeah. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have, of course, been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
What do we say at the end? Oh, I hope you find your happily ever after.
We say that?
Yeah.
Someone in this movie during one of the protest scenes yells, "Why don't we bomb Fox Books?" So maybe that should be the outro.
Maybe that's the outro.
Yeah, we'll keep working on it.
Good night. We might be childhood friends.